Thank you, Pachuro. Next.
Thank you very much.
Contestant Hanna, agenda paper 15.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Agenda paper 15 deals with another new issue for the committee. We received a submission asking whether the holder of an equity instrument in a central bank should de-recognise its investment on the exchange of that instrument for another equity instrument on different terms. We conducted some outreach and asked whether anyone was aware of similar transactions involving a public interest or government-related entity exchanging its own equity instruments. We had 20 responses, and they all indicated that this is not a common fact pattern and that the issue isn't widespread. Furthermore, we understand that in respect of this particular transaction, no significant diversity in accounting was observed amongst the holders of those equity instruments. We therefore conclude that as the agenda criteria are not met, the Interpretations Committee should not take the issue onto its agenda. Do you agree with our recommendation?
A couple of points before I open it up. We tried to seek out other places where there might be similar transactions involving government-controlled or quasi-government-controlled entities. And I think in this case the outreach was much more targeted because we said, well, has your central bank done this? We knew what we were going to hear. And we still didn't get any significant observation in our outreach. For that reason, we haven't even tried to do a technical analysis of the issue. Some of us might reach different conclusions on the technical merits, but we don't even get there the way we've approached it. Charlotte?
I can understand that it's a narrow issue for central banks doing shares, but I wasn't sure if that was substantially different from if it was other entities doing share exchanges and whether it was that broader issue we ought to see as widespread. I'm not sure if that issue is widespread either, but it seemed to narrow it down to the chance of you having any of those types of transactions were minimal.
We knew that there, and Kumar was very strong on this point, we knew there are lots of share exchanges. Lots of private companies do share exchanges, share restructurings and things like that. And so we didn't want to open the floodgate to all of those, but we did want to see if there were other situations in which you had almost a legislatively mandated share exchange.
I just wasn't sure what the, other than for example, say the novation of derivative stuff that was earlier, which was a very restrictive circumstance, I wasn't sure in this situation the restrictive circumstance of it being a central bank doing it under government instruction was really key to the analysis. And so that was my concern, whether it's actually just the same analysis, whoever's doing it. So that was my only concern.
I think that quite often if you do get equity share for share restructurings, there's something driving it, some change to the composition of the group. And this wasn't the case in this particular thing. It was being forced through by legislation.
I just wasn't sure why that was the key feature, why it wasn't the nature of what you were swapping that made the difference, or whether things like public interest entities are doing it because of regulators' demands were also included. It just seemed it seemed such a narrow scope that you were always going to get the answer that there was none of these out there.
Would you want to address share-for-share exchanges more broadly?
I want to, I think we should. I do think the issues that came up in the submission were worthy of answering, especially since it isn't going to be resolved by IFRS 9. it is still out there. And I'm concerned that things that maybe my industry share for share exchanges are more likely to happen is because of regulatory changes to what constitutes equity. So people are tweaking what they've got out there potentially. I don't know. I thought it was a sort of cute way to avoid the issue, to be honest.
Actually, I was trying to get it on the table, failed. Sue?
I think the other thing to remember, though, is that the committee's already done an interpretation on modifications, and I think that in that case it was a specific fact pattern, but we tried to address it in the best way we could that wasn't too focused on the facts of the case. And in that case, I think we said most of the things we could say about any modification anyway, so I'm not sure how much incremental benefit there would be.
Kumar?
I agree. I mean, so the motivation, when I look at the technical literature of the derecognition, the motivation could be a driver, but not necessarily you look at the merits of the transaction. But the question when Wayne was mentioning, the question was asking is that share exchanges, SUGOs, derecognitions, these have been around. That's a very broad topic. It's opening up whole of derecognition. I didn't think that was what was being asked out here. It was a very specific transaction for which certain regulatory changes have been made, and that's where which was triggering it. Now, if the IFRIC feels, as they're being asked, if that's what we should be opening up, then that's a different issue altogether, but that opens up every kind of share transfers or things that happen. The other area, what you were talking about also, I know it's coming up quite a bit, is that when you're starting tweaking the terms and that's everything, again, that's broad. It could be debt, it could be equity, it could flip in and out, classification changes, reclassification. So the other gamut, to even scope it down, would have been pretty much more difficult to do. So we tried to focus on the transaction, not trying to do, but also to put the issue on the table.
Patrick?
Yes, I agree with the tentative agenda decision because I think it is too broad for the interpretations committee to manage. Nevertheless, I would like to underline what Charlotte said. I think it's something that's quite frequent. The IFRS 9 will not deal with these changes or modifications. And what we observed in the past with the exchange of the Greek government bonds, and in this case, shows that frequently the amounts at stake are very important, and therefore I would suggest that this topic be referred to the board because it needs clarification in my view.
Just under the heading of be careful what you wish for, how would you clarify it? Would you one of the difficulties in this area, of course, is the answer is how much does there have to be, and you say enough. And then the questions start to come in, how much is enough? What would you want the board to do specifically? 39 really doesn't talk hardly at all about equity exchanges. It talks a bit more about debt exchanges, but what would you want the board to do?
Well, the only guidance that exists is for liabilities, and it tends to go in a direction that puts a lot of emphasis on the quantitative aspects, and I don't think that this is appropriate with equity instruments.
Okay.
And therefore, I think it would be worth thinking about criteria that could be used for modifications that are made to equity instruments.
Okay.
What type of changes would result in derecognition of the asset and a recognition of a new one?
We've seen several different approaches in the U.S. under U.S. GAAP. In terms of, we've seen the qualitative approaches purely looking at terms. We've seen quantitative approaches comparing fair value, quantitative approaches comparing cash flows, approaches where you assume it's, unless the changes are clearly non-substantive, you assume it's some modifications. So I think, you know, along the lines Patrick was saying, just some direction of which of those approaches is the best way to go.
Were those in equity to equity or in debt modifications?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, clearly the cash flow might not be equity to equity, the value.
John?
I mean, I agree with the agenda decision. I do think that the issue is both too broad and too narrow. The specific fact pattern is too narrow to deal with, and the issue itself is probably too broad. I do think there is an issue about what extent of modification of rights without a change in ownership interest or percentage actually does give you derecognition. But the issue probably goes away under IFRS 9 because the issue is really around gain recognition, and under IFRS 9 all of these instruments are at fair value, either in OCI with no recycling or in the income statement. So under IFRS 9, I think the tension in the issue will disappear.
Laurence?
Agenda decision for this fact pattern, but I am receiving feedback that we would need further guidance, as Patrick said, about, you know, how to treat generally share exchanges when you are the holders or debt exchanges. There is not enough guidance in IFRS. I'm talking IFRS 9. I'm not talking about IS 37 to do something for IS 39 today. But IFRS 9, yes, there is real need for that.
Bruce?
My comments are pretty much the same as John and Lawrence's. I mean, I think it's exactly what I was going to say. I think the challenge here is I think we have to support the agenda decision. I mean, without a doubt, this is a very specific fact pattern. I think we're certainly not going to resolve that. But I think that, as was pointed out, I think the issue is way greater than we're going to look at. If we decide to take this on, I don't think it's an interpretation. I don't think it's a narrow scope amendment. I think this is something, yeah, this is a serious change. So, I mean, my suggestion was going to be, I think this should be sent up to the board for them to look at. I don't think this is, it's not something we would want to do.
Let Philippe in here.
Just a quick reaction to John's point. I remarked that under IFRS 9, because the shares are at fair value before and after restructuring, there should be less tension on the issue. It's true, I agree. But one question we may have someday, and which may come to the committee, is the following. If I have done a policy election to classify my shares at fair value OCI, and if I have a restructuring of those shares, could that trigger a reclassification to fair value P&L or the opposite? It is an event which could be a triggering event. And I don't think we have addressed that in IFRS 9. Is it a recognition event? And this really relates to how much of the change to this equity instrument is there. And you can reclassify, or only if you de-recognize. Actually, it's not reclassification, it's de-recognition and re-recognition. So it may be that someday the committee will be faced with such a question. And whether it's the board that should address it, or the committee is more the board, I suppose, because it's really standard setting activity here. But I think there is an issue.
Okay, let's have Andrew and Martin and then Kumar.
Actually, my point was the one that Philippe just made. I think IFRS 9 will resolve the tension, I think, in this particular situation, but it won't completely take away the issue, because if you regard the modification or exchange as a derecognition event, you'll get another choice about designation at fair value through OCI. That's the bit that would remain.
Martin?
Yeah, I believe also with IFRS 9, guidance is missing with regard to derecognition and modification on the asset side. I mean, we will have rules for liabilities, but if I have a modification of fixed income securities or even equity or so, some guidance in IFRS 9 is missing. I do not believe that this should be the task of the Interpretation Committee to do so. However, it would be a good suggestion also towards the board or so, that there is an issue which is unsolved, so to say. Another point is that in general, when we have wording for tentative agenda decisions or so, and that's an organizational question for me, we add an appropriate wording with regard to what would be the solution we believe, also if it is a gender rejection or so. In this proposed wording here, we add nothing, what we would believe would be the appropriate way.
And we did that on purpose.
Yep.
We haven't analyzed the technical merits. And if, had we done so, I'm not sure that the four of us on the staff would have come up with the same views. So we didn't, but given the it's either too narrow or too broad conclusion, we didn't think the technical analysis was necessary. Andrew?
Just real quickly on the proposed wording itself, do we actually have a basis to say no significant diversity in accounting was observed? I didn't quite pick that up from the paper.
Oh, it was the submitter who mentioned that.
Okay, so that's the submitter's observation. I guess what's observed captures all potential types of observer, but...
Yeah, it was observed amongst the holders of the equity instruments, which would have been Italian banks. Patrick. Patrick, and then we'll wrap it up.
Just to say that we checked the practice, and the practice was unanimous. So no diversity in practice in this case.
They all recognize the gap. Why am I not surprised?
Everybody.
Okay. We will go with the agenda decision then as drafted. Any objections? With regarding the admonition to the board that someday we need to, it needs to think about changes and restructurings of equity instruments. I don't see a problem in debt unless somebody has a particular concern about debt. There is guidance there on that. Sue?
I've been told pretty consistently by people that they'd like more guidance on debt as well. Yeah. I mean, even after the agenda decisions on Greek debt, I think people still would have liked more specificity if they could get it. But it's quite a big project, obviously. It's a derecognition project, which hasn't been a very happy history for the board so far. So if people do want us to look at this, it needs to be something that's raised by people in the forthcoming agenda consultation.
Okay, I'm really trying, since we've already discussed it, I'm trying to wrap it up. Charlotte and Kumar, and then I'm going to...
I think the asset side of debt modification, people wanted guidance on, which is quite a narrow one. I mean, I don't know whether you can... Can you do modification separately from doing the whole derecognition? I just don't know if there's any... Sending the board back to the whole derecognition project is... I mean, I was involved in the last one, so, yeah. I'm not sure if that's going to get anywhere.
I think it's fair to say that the derecognition guidance that's there is not a masterpiece. But we haven't had a lot of luck at making it prettier. Kumar?
Yeah, just to echo some of the things, I understand. Even with 9, the stress point is derecognition because it flips, and we have covered that in the paper. What point do you re-recognize? As Charlotte and Sue has pointed, a word of caution. I was sitting here quite a few years back working on derecognition, and I know what's involved. So opening that up is no easy task, be it debt or for equity. Just to see some of the US things where the issues come up, think of it just what the complexities come up in. We even think of simple things like convertible bonds, because that's all of these things would come flipping in. So I would advise a word of caution with this one before we go and say we should open up derecognition.
Okay. I think we're done on that one. Brings us to our last paper. Anna again. Paper 16.